We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
All right. What up, everybody? Welcome to episode 5 of the Corner Podcast. I'm Kel Dansby.
And I'm Andreas Hale. It's 5 episodes, man. We've already done 5 episodes.
They know that you're uppity and bougie and all this.
I'm not uppity and bougie, but this is the place to be for your MMA, boxing, pro wrestling talk. Don't listen to Kel, because if you've been listening, you know he's been on a bunch of bullshit the past few weeks.
You lying. So today, though, we're talking Mayweather Pacquiao.
Of course.
What?
Of course.
We're going to talk to 2 amazing guests. After that, we're going to try to figure out how Chavez Jr. is such a bum.
Man.
What else do we got today? We also have UFC 186, the card no one knows about.
Right, but we also got to talk about Fight Night and how amazing that card was, and it was free.
Yo, it was probably better than a pay-per-view. We have WWE Extreme Rules. This is a packed podcast. And we're starting it off Mayweather Pacquiao, yo.
Of course.
We're talking tickets.
Tickets?
We talking Practice? About tickets?
We talking about tickets?
There ain't no tickets. It's a week out.
I mean, nobody. They haven't sold a single ticket because they can't. Because these cats ain't signing contracts. I've never heard of no
yo,
shit like
how
this.
Don't you sign the contract? Like, it's been finalized, supposedly. For 3 months now? 2 months?
But you know what it is. It's a pissing contest. You know, I've been hearing a lot of things internally about it. It's really about tickets. It's about who's going to control the tickets. But you know this is the Floyd Mayweather show. But Arum is Arum, and he's not going to kind of lay down. So I'm sure that what happened was there was a conversation when this fight got signed. And then Bob Arum and whoever reads his contracts for him, because he's 1,000 years old, got to like page like 340 of the contract, saw some shit in there that was like a percentile, like a minuscule percentile that equated to about $10 million because this fight is so rich. And he was like, hold up. This ain't going to roll. So, but it's not like the fight's not going
to
happen.
Nah, it has to happen. But that's what's crazy. Like, it's all about Bob. Like, yo, Bob, you're not fighting, my man. All the talk about I want to put on the greatest fight in history. Bob, you're not fighting, though. Just sign on the dotted line, give Mayweather whatever he wants, and let the 2 step in the ring. It ain't like Manny seeing this money.
That's true. I mean, but it's Bob. Bob's been here forever. Bob's been here since like the beginning of boxing. Bob Arum probably boxed with Jack Johnson. Bob Arum, some people think he's evil, but I think that's why he lives forever. Like, he's going to outlive probably Manny Pacquiao.
Yo, he has like 10 souls. Like, is that why he's living forever?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Faces of Bob Arum.
But there's not going to be a lot of tickets because all the big tickets are going to be bought up by rich people.
Yep.
So, like.
Too rich for me?
Yeah, but like, who's coming to the fight? Like, who's a paying regular person who works at, I can't say Walmart because they can't afford it.
Yo, half the Philippines will be there. They got to sell whatever they got to sell to get here. They are going to be here. They're going to make their presence felt.
You know what they got to sell? The Philippines. Yo, they got to sell the Philippines to Mayweather.
Yo, that's it. Just sell your whole country to money Mayweather.
That's his face
on the flag.
That's the only way it works. But you know what? I want to also talk about Floyd, because he only did like one real interview, and it was with Stephen A. Smith on ESPN.
Yeah, dope interview. Shout out to Stephen A. You know, I bashed him on prior podcasts. Well, not him, but his entire First Take show. But the interview was dope, I liked it.
It was a little obnoxious. It was Floyd, being rich. But there was one thing that everybody's talking about is Floyd saying that you cannot brainwash him into believing that Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Robinson are the greatest. Well, I mean,
listen, we're going to get into this in a little while, too, with our Pound for Pound segment today and who our greatest boxers are. But Floyd isn't supposed to feel any other way about that. Like, yo, you're undefeated. No one's been able to stop you. You can't fight these other people, so you might as well say you're the best, and no one can tell you that you're not.
But isn't it kind of blasphemous to say that you're better than somebody like Muhammad Ali before your career is over?
Nah, not at all.
So you're telling me if Kobe Bryant said he's better than Michael Jordan, that's acceptable?
Yes, he should have.
Why?
Like, if he would have said that in 2002 and the pace Kobe was on, yo, say it. Because he could have been like, Jordan at my age didn't do this. Jordan didn't have all these things at my age. Jordan was losing to the Pistons at my age.
Yeah, but Jordan didn't have Shaq either.
Semantics.
That's not semantics. Semantics. That's a big semantics.
At that point, he should have been like, yo, whatever, I'm better than Jordan. Say something.
That's crazy.
And you can.
Because Jordan would have watched him.
You say it while you can because you don't know what tomorrow holds. If Floyd didn't say it now, then lost to Manny, he's never going to be able to say it. Say it while you can say it. Say it while it still has the possibility of being true. Because you can't predict the future.
Okay, that's the dumbest shit I've heard.
Yo, if you got to say it, believe it, until people can give you a good reason not to.
Better than Ali.
Fake it till you make it.
Okay.
Yo, if you are undefeated and Ali has a loss, you have a case for being better than him. Rocky. I'm not saying that it's true. I ain't saying it's the real deal. I don't think I believe it. But for him, I can't tell that man, like, yo, you're not the best ever. I think this person's better. How many times they lose? Ah, okay, well, he got a case.
I don't know.
It's, man, like bringing up rings, yo. It's like telling Bill Russell he ain't the greatest player ever. Sure, I think Jordan's better. But Bill got the hardware. So you're going to tell Bill in his face? But like, Jordan, yo, you ain't the best?
Jordan is better.
Bill don't think that. As Bill right now. Bill don't think that.
But rings, everybody knows Jordan's the best.
Losses, all these things matter. And I can understand why Floyd says it. And listen, you say anything while standing in between three Bugattis, and you're telling the truth.
No, you're not.
I don't care. You tell me anything while you're standing in front of three Bugattis, and I will believe
you. You are really waving the flag for... Okay, so do you believe it?
Forget no, I don't believe it.
Okay.
We're gonna, you'll see my list. I don't believe it. I have him higher on my list than most people. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean...
some people don't have him top 10.
Well, I mean...
Now, right now, without the Pacquiao win... People don't have him top 10.
Should he be top 10? Without getting too much into your list, should he be top 10 right now?
I have him top 10 right now. Right now.
That's interesting.
And he is undefeated and the best of a generation. When you are the best of a generation, that goes far.
I don't disagree with you. It's just when you are still fighting, to say that you can't be brainwashed into believing that what many consider the greatest fighter of all time, Muhammad Ali, you can't say he's better than you. You can't say Sugar Ray Robinson, who fought damn near 200 times in his career, is better than you. I don't know. I mean, it's just respect your elders. Just kind of chill.
Yo, he gave him respect, though.
Yeah, but you gave him respect, and then you said Ali, you know, he lost to Leon Spinks. But it's like, come on, dude.
Yo, he gave him enough respect. There's only so much respect you have to give your elders. Like, when you know that you're dope, sometimes you just gotta tell people that you're dope. Like, it is what it is.
That's fine telling people that you're dope, but if Young Thug came out and said he was the greatest rapper of all time, we'd spit in his face. I would.
Yeah, but Lil Wayne said it, and all these crazy little kids believed it. So in 2005, Lil Wayne said, best rapper alive, and Jay-Z, to my recollection, was not dead. And people believed it. You start the conversation, right? People, honestly, honest to God, in 2005, people said Lil Wayne. It was Big Pac Lil Wayne.
But did he have the resume to claim that?
No, but he said it, and you couldn't deny it. You didn't know what the future holds.
I denied it.
If you would have went forward and took, like, Lollipop, if you would have took the Crazy Rock and Roll album, if you would have bought all that and be like, yo, this is what he's going to become, everyone would have looked at him crazy. But he said it while he could, and people believed it.
Whatever.
You say it while you can, yo.
I'll tell you what. Mayweather's not completely off base for a reason. And it's because he's 38 years old and he's undefeated. More than anything else, to be 38 years old, to have an undefeated record, to be dominant. There's no other fighter who's been on top of a sport for as long as Floyd Mayweather has. So that in itself is an accomplishment. And, you know, gives you claim to the throne. Because I don't think there's no other fighter in the history of boxing that's been undefeated for as long, not as many fights, but for as long as Floyd Mayweather has been. 18 years of being undefeated.
Yo, that's a long time. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Actually, 19. We're going into the 19th year of Floyd Mayweather being undefeated. There's a possibility he could go two decades without losing a fight.
Yo, he has a case. That's all I'm saying. He has a case. And as long as you got a case, you might as well say it. Nobody else is gonna say it for you. And that's really what it comes down to. If you don't say it, nobody else is going
to
say it.
It's Floydisms, man. This is what we're going to come to know, this Floydism. It sounds outrageous, but Floyd lives in an isolated bubble where he's rich. And anything he tells anybody that's close to him, they're going to believe because he's rich.
A ton of yes men.
Yeah, I'll pay you to say yes.
Yo, listen, I would have said yes too. Listen, he flew Stephen A. out in a private jet. picked him up in the airport, took him to the Palms, it looked like, took him to his crib. Listen, man, I'll listen you say anything crazy you want. Let me get that interview.
Yeah, it's true.
I'll sit there and, yep, all right, Floyd, cool. So what time those girls coming through? That would have been the conversation. Like, you know, Floyd is an endless party, and Stephen A. was along for the ride. It was a dope interview, and we'll see if we get more of that as the week progresses. But that's the only time he was on his super fly Money Mayweather stuff. And I thought we'd get more of that. This fight, the build up, everything. There was no more of that. That was the only time I saw him on his real money team. Floss, Bugattis. That's the only time I've seen that this whole time. And that's weird. That's more weird to me than him saying he's the best ever.
Well, I think that just kind of plays into the fact that he's been a character. He's played up a persona for so many years. This fight doesn't need selling. He doesn't need to trash. Like, we just had the conference call with Mayweather right before this podcast started. And Floyd was just humble. Wouldn't say nothing bad about Freddie Roach. Wouldn't say nothing bad about Manny Pacquiao. It's just kind of, he doesn't need to sell a fight. It's sold.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to sell a fight when you only got to sell 500 tickets, 1,000 tickets.
Whatever's left.
It's about to be like 120 tickets to sell. It's not hard to sell that.
True.
They're all gone. But now that we're talking about them, let's talk about the technical aspects of it. You know, all the sideshow stuff aside, Floyd's 38, Manny's 36. They're still arguably the two best fighters in their weight class. I don't
easy.
See
147 easy two best fighters away from spot.
Oh, Pacquiao over Thurman, that'd be rough for me right now. But arguably, they're the two best fighters in the weight class, and they meet in the ring. Where do you think this fight goes? Let's talk about advantages for Floyd first. It's the easy way to go.
The first thing is Floyd's a bigger man. First and foremost, Floyd's a bigger man. I think he has about a 3 to 4 inch reach advantage, which means that jab is going to be sticking out, right? So. For Pacquiao, in order to beat somebody like Floyd Mayweather, you're going to have to be the aggressor, and you're also going to have to be able to move him with your body. In the clinch, you're going to have to hold him against the ropes. Pacquiao's not going to be able to do that. And I think it's the most underrated part of Floyd Mayweather's game, aside from his footwork, is when he fights guys that are maybe smaller than him, because everybody he fights in his division comes in about 20 pounds heavier fight night. He's going to move Pacquiao around. So Pacquiao's advantages in aggression are going to get nullified by Floyd's strength. That clinch is going to be something else. Anytime Pacquiao gets close, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, Pacquiao, I mean, he's going to have to bully him. And physically, he's not going to have that advantage. But mentally, he has to bully Floyd. No one's ever done it. You're looking at me crazy.
I am.
But that's what it will take to beat Floyd. You got to bully him into thinking you're in the fight.
Yeah, but let's talk about that, though. Pacquiao's mentality. Can Pacquiao be a bully?
I don't see that same Pacquiao. I don't see the young Pacquiao when
he
was a bully.
Marquez knocked that shit right out of him. That's what happened.
He was a bully. Like, for a good amount of time, he was a bully. He was a bully at 135.
He was.
140. He was bodying kids.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore. I mean, he couldn't get Bradley out last time.
No, I mean, Bradley's a tough nut to crack, you know. But
he ain't Floyd.
Of course Bradley's not Floyd.
So, I mean, to think that he can just... you know, body him and throw him around the ring and stop the movement and really cut off the ring and force Floyd to not want to dance and to really lean against the ropes and do what he pretty much did the beginning of the
Maidana fight. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you have to trick Floyd into doing.
You can't trick Floyd. He's a Jedi.
Yo, you gotta just outsmart the smartest ever.
You
have to make him believe he's better at something than he is, which is crazy. But you have to make Floyd think like, yo, you can hurt me by just being a brawler and standing in here and punching and standing in the pocket. After everything was said and done, Maidana did that for a second.
Yeah, he was
reckless. And, you know, Floyd was like, yo, I can beat you at this game. Let me show people. And it made the first fight way closer than it had to be. In Floyd's heart of heart, he felt he had to prove that. I don't know to who.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he made it up in his head, and Maidana was like, all right, yo, I'm rolling with this, that you got to outslug me. And Floyd didn't use all the movements in the slick jab and all that stuff. He didn't.
I mean, it was on purpose.
It was on purpose.
Yeah.
And something got into Floyd's head, and he had that confidence that, like, oh, Maidana got heavy hands. You think he's going to knock me out? Watch this, American public. And I think Pacquiao has to goat Floyd into doing that.
That's impossible.
No, Pacquiao got to stand flat-footed. But you know, he gotta leave himself open a little bit. You gotta take one to give two. So you leave yourself open a little bit. You lean on the ropes. Let Floyd come in and think he got the heavy hands and he's swinging for a round or two to open it up. And then you say, okay, slugfest. And then by the time we look up, it's the eighth round, and now Floyd wants to dance.
That's impossible. Here's why it's impossible. Floyd comes in, he picks the market. I mean, Maidana fight.
Yeah.
Nobody gave Maidana a shot in hell. We were at a point where people were like, I'm not buying Floyd Mayweather fights anymore. So Floyd said, I got to make it exciting. So he made it exciting. He stayed in the pocket and brawled with him. But for Pacquiao, you think he's going to make it exciting? You think he's doing this for the... He's not doing this for the fans. Like, there's going to be nothing that he's going to get lulled into. He knows he's the best ring tactician there is in this sport. Technically sound, great counterpuncher. He's going to be the bigger man. He's going to use everything he's got to take apart Manny Pacquiao. A brawl? It won't happen. Unless the only way that possibly happens is if Manny touches Floyd and Floyd's like, this isn't shit. And then chooses to do something like that. But he's not going to get suckered into it.
Yo, Manny has to just absorb punishment. Manny has to believe that Floyd can't punch with power. That's what Manny has to believe going in. That, yo, his hands are brittle, and he's going to hurt himself worse by punching me than I can hurt him by punching him. And it sounds crazy, but that's one hell of a strategy. I'm going to let him punch me for the first three rounds because his hands are like China dolls, and they are going to crumble. And I got 9 rounds to rock him because he's going to have broken hands.
Well, that's not... I mean, Floyd hasn't had hand issues in years. I'm not... I don't think...
Suppose.
I don't think Pacquiao is going to want to get hit by Floyd Mayweather. Everybody that's ever fought Floyd, especially Shane Mosley, when I talked to Shane, was like, it's deceptively hard. It hurts. When Floyd hits you as fast as you don't see it coming, and it hurts.
Yeah, the shock will get you.
The only thing that Floyd doesn't do is he doesn't lay into his opponents. He'll hit you a couple times, he'll back off because he's just trying to win the fight. He's not trying to make it exciting for you because you already paid to watch the damn fight. You're already up to $59.99, whatever you're going to pay.
$99.99.
So, yeah, for this. So he's not going to make it fun.
Yeah.
He's just going to do enough to keep his opponent off of him. And once Pacquiao feels that straight right hand, I guarantee he's going to go back to the corner and say, Freddie, I don't know what's going. Tell him to stop. That's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you, that's the shit that's going to happen on May 2nd.
Yo, the Pacquiao voice is so on point right now.
I'm sorry. It's what's going
to
happen.
But, yo, you've watched a lot of boxing. You've been around boxing forever. What does it take for Manny to win? Because we got to think like that. You know, every now and then, it comes down to the point of, if you're Freddie Roach, if you're Manny Pacquiao, there has to be a way to beat Floyd. How do you do it?
Okay, there's one way you beat Floyd is Floyd has to get old. Roy Jones didn't lose to Antonio Tarver. Roy Jones beat himself because he got old that night. He woke up on the wrong side of 30. Floyd Mayweather's got to be a little bit slower at 38, right? That's one way. The other thing is you have to throw more punches than Floyd. You have to convince the judges that you are more active than your opponent. And it can't just be, you know, just brawling and taking people, you know, trying to take them down like Maidana did MMA style. You just got to be busy because Floyd is not a busy fighter. So you have to be extremely active. You got to throw a lot of punches. And you have to take the first few rounds away from Floyd because he's going to give them to you. He's going to give you a couple rounds. And then after that, he's going to shift gears and then he's going to take away your greatest weapon. So you got to hide what you got and open up in the later rounds. But you got to take those rounds. You have to have some kind of ring generalship. It's hard, but you just got to be the aggressor.
No, it's true. It's true. And, you know, Floyd, if what you're saying is true, then Floyd may really be the best ever. Because if you don't, if only thing that can stop you is Father Time, you have one hell of a case to being the best ever. Because you have zero holes in your game.
We'll talk about our pound for pound list.
Let's hit it up right now. Before we get into, right. You know,
already?
The other, hey, quick and early in the podcast. Before we get into reviewing the fights from last weekend, which were great. Let's go pound for pound list. Best fighters are our best fighters,
okay,
ever. Top five. I'll start it off.
Yeah, you start.
So I'm gonna go 5-1.
All right.
Building suspense. Ha ha ha! Look at that. I'm learning already. Look at the podcast tricks. So 5. I got Mayweather. Okay. Told you he's in my top 10. He's in my top 5. He is number 5 right now without beating Manny Pacquiao. Number 4. Rocky Marciano.
What?
Undefeated, my man.
So what?
Undefeated.
Oh, my Jesus.
You carry a zero, you hold weight.
What are you doing? You're killing
Listen.
Me. We're going to have to...
Yo,
can't,
yeah.
Can't my co-host anymore.
3. Sugar Ray Leonard. just personally, I think he's one of the most skilled boxers ever. He fought in probably the toughest division in boxing. He had a lot of good opponents. Two, Cassius Clay. His mama named him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay. Number two.
Right.
Number one, Sugar Ray Robinson. Even though the film is grainy and it's like watching Babe Ruth, there's no one better with a combination of speed, hand speed, agility, punching power. He had it all. He had the total combination and package. That's 5-1. Let's hear your list, since you're just over here just utterly disgusted.
How do you have Rocky Marciano on this list?
Undefeated.
So what? Joe Calzaghe retired undefeated.
That is very true.
How do you have Rocky Marciano on this list?
Undefeated. And it's not even Calzaghe, come on. I mean, we obviously saw that. But giving respect to your elders, right? You just bash Floyd for doing this. And I'm providing respect for my elders. That's like saying, yo, I can't have Babe Ruth in my top five baseball players.
But you don't have Jack Johnson.
Because he's fat and white.
You don't have like, Jack so Johnson or Joe Lewis on your list, but you have Rocky Marciano?
Joe Lewis was six.
Oh, my God. Rocky Marciano only defended his title six times before he retired.
Okay. Do you need more? He retired undefeated.
Joe Calzaghe,
it's a different
retired
title.
Undefeated. He's not on your list.
Give me your list.
All right. I'm just starting at one. Sugar Ray Robinson's number one.
Sugar Ray Robinson's number one.
Easy.
Clear cut.
The man fought damn near 200 times. He lost to Jake LaMotta in his 41st fight, and then he reeled off 91 wins in a row.
Insane.
It's a different time. You know, the guy fought like three times a month. So I can see how you can accumulate that. Ali, number two. Obviously, with the 3 years taken away from being suspended from the sport, we never got to see Ali truly in his prime. And he went in there with a prime Joe Frazier and gave him hell for 15 rounds.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt about it that Ali's number two. I mean, beating George Foreman, beating Sonny Liston as young as he was, beating the shit out of Floyd Patterson. The things that Ali did, the only thing that Ali never did, if you ever watch his fights, he never went to the body. If you ever watch an Ali fight, pay close attention. He doesn't go to the body.
Nah, not like consistent.
No, he doesn't go to the body. Watch,
at all.
Watch his fight. He hardly ever goes to the body. He has a long jab and he puts his punches together, but he rarely goes to the body.
Very true.
Number three.
Three.
You know, there's you got like Roberto Duran, perhaps. There's this.
Duran kind of, probably should have made my top five. Yeah. It was close. I was thinking about Duran.
Duran at lightweight was a murderer. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to put him at 1-3 because there's also Henry Armstrong, who was the division crusher before there was Manny Pacquiao. But I didn't see a lot of Henry Armstrong. I watched a lot of Roberto Duran. Roberto Duran at 135 was one of the baddest people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, definitely.
So, he's there. I just don't know if he's number three. Who are we missing here? I got to go with Sugar Ray Leonard. Very Floyd-like, because a lot of people forget that Sugar Ray Leonard kind of handpicked his opponents as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
He didn't fight Hagler until he felt like fighting Hagler. And when he had the opportunity to give him a rematch, he just didn't want to. And there were other fights that Leonard had where he got kind of took guys out of their prime. Or just at different times in their career. So
it looks great in hindsight. And that's my thing about Floyd. Like, you know, you catch a Canelo early. If Canelo ends up being De La Hoya, it's going to be great on the resume. But you didn't fight prime Canelo. You didn't fight prime De La Hoya necessarily.
You didn't fight prime Mosley.
Yeah, it looks great in retrospect.
Yeah, so, and then there's Joe Lewis. I mean, Joe Lewis and Jack Johnson almost tied. Jack Johnson, obviously, times have changed. He couldn't fight that style today. He'd get beat up. But back then, he's beating the shit out of everybody. And then he was taking their women. He's taking all their white women in his Cadillac. And Jack Johnson, if you ever watch Unforgivable Blackness, which is an amazing documentary, it's just, you look at what he was doing to guys, and he was just beating the hell out of them. So they're like A and B. Floyd falls outside of that list and out of the top five because his resume just doesn't hold up. He didn't, the 147 division, I mean, he fought Diego Corrales. Great. He fought Cotto out of his prime. Somewhere.
All right.
Cotto got dogged by Pacquiao and Margarito, which is never the same fighter. Same with Mosley. So it's like, you know, you look at his resume and you compare it to a Roberto Duran or a Tommy Hearns or Sugar Ray Leonard or a Marvin Hagler. It's not the same.
Hagler was almost, listen, my top 10 is crowded right now.
I mean, Hagler, if he didn't retire, if he would have beat Leonard, he could have retired undefeated. Hagler was, I mean, well, shoot, he lost an early fight, but Hagler was one of the baddest men to ever
live. Yeah,
he just was pissed and salty that he lost to Leonard. And I would have been salty, too, if you watched the fight as close as it was. You see things that Leonard was doing, it would upset you. So, yeah, I mean, that's my top five. I don't know if that was, like, a real
Yo, our top five has almost everything the same.
Not Rocky Marciano.
You besides one person.
Get that dude the hell out of here.
Undefeated.
So, Joe Lewis and Jack Johnson are the better heavyweights.
Joe Lewis is nasty. I'll
George
give you that.
George Foreman would have beat the shit out of Rocky Marciano.
Ooh. I listen, once again, we're pairing fights that we can never see.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
I don't care.
That's one hell of a thing to have on your resume.
I don't care. Damn it,
let's talk about last weekend's fight.
Every episode, it never fails. You say some shit that I got to go home and then be like, I got to listen to this. Oh, my God. You're my co-host, man.
Yo, you better love this. I'm spitting knowledge right now.
You are
the hot fire.
You are becoming the Skip Bayless of the show.
I am not. Don't go there. Like, come on, man. You know how I feel about Skip. I'm not Skip Bayless of the show. The man is undefeated. Undefeated.
You're still going to keep trying this.
Yo, and I understand there's some better boxers technically. There's a lot of them. Duran probably could have got his spot easy on my list. Hardest hands probably ever. Got hands of stone. Yeah. Could have been in there. Nah. I mean, undefeated. Want me to make you feel better?
No.
I'll put him at five. Floyd can have four.
He doesn't belong in the
five.
Top 10, man.
I mean, let's go to last weekend's fights, man.
Yeah,
we're never going to agree on this.
Yeah, we're not.
Let's talk about best fight of last weekend. You said it'd be fight of the week.
Possible
fight of the year.
Matisse.
Provodnikov. Did it live up to your expectation?
Yes, it did. And I doubled back in the last podcast. I said when I originally said it wouldn't end in a knockout, then I was like, ah, somebody's going to get knocked out. But it didn't end in a knockout. It was a war.
You predicted that it could be a war.
And it was close. Provodnikov came on strong late. Matisse looked good.
He looked good early. I thought he could be better conditioned. Was it you that tweeted, like, yo, if this was 15 rounds,
oh, yeah.
Provodnikov gets it.
Provodnikov
yeah, like,
would have been 15.
If this was in the 70s, Provodnikov got that. Because he faded late. You can't fade late in fights. It's rough because you never know when you're going to start the fade. He luckily started it late enough in the fights. He was good.
I mean, Matisse was busting Provodnikov's face up. That uppercut was serious. And I'm looking at Provodnikov and I'm like, damn, you're going to make me look real bad right now because you were getting your ass kicked. But the face, the damage his face took didn't have a toll on his heart. That dude had just a ton of heart. He never looked hurt. He rocked Matisse quite a few times in that fight.
Oh, yeah.
I think in the 11th round, he caught him with a left hook.
I thought that was it.
Yeah. He damn near put him down. If there was more time in the round, he could have put him down. It could have changed the fight. Would end up perhaps a draw or a split decision. Mm-hmm. But that was a hell of a fight, and I'd love to see it again, but that 140 division is so crowded, which leads us to our next guy who fought brilliantly, Bud Terrence Crawford.
Terrence Crawford, it's time to come to Vegas, baby. No more small time.
Yo, he knocked out Delorme, but the adjustments, again, it's the adjustments that kid makes because he has equal power in both hands. And you watch him because he's like, I'm slightly out of my range with the right hand. And then he'll switch up, he'll go to southpaw, and he'll be like, all right, I got you. And he connected, and it was lights out. I don't know who can beat him, period, right now.
Yo, I don't know who wants to try. That's now where we are in boxing, though. It's like, I don't know who could be. I don't know who wants to try to beat him. Well, Broner doesn't want those problems.
I think that's a fight that's going to potentially happen. I think Broner's going to hang around at 140. And Crawford's going to come here and try to collect these belts. Because Danny Garcia's leaving.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 140 division is going to be wide open. And Terrence Crawford's the best fighter in that division. If Terrence Crawford fought Lucas Matisse, he beats the hell out of Lucas Matisse. It'll be a great fight. Crawford gets hurt because he does have a penchant of getting rocked.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody can beat Terrence Crawford right now. He's probably the baddest dude at 140.
I would love to see Garcia stay down and take that fight.
Kind of needs to.
Like, he's going to get eaten alive at 147.
Yeah, he's going to get two.
But, you know, I think him versus Crawford would be good because for everything Danny is and isn't in the boxing ring, he makes some good adjustments and he fights up to the level of competition.
Danny? So,
yeah.
Nah.
I mean, Danny is horrible. He's shit in the ring against mediocre fighters. But you put him in there against someone above average, you'd be like, all right, Danny, where's this been? He does just enough to make it interesting. And I'd like to see him go against a Crawford where it'd be like, okay, yo, now bring your A game. Don't coast. Let's see what you really got. And instead, he's going to move up to 147 and just get rocked.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to Angel, his dad's going to have to really try to talk him out of this. I know Angel's been in his ear trying to keep him down at 140, but Danny's body's just not holding up. He's going to have to move up to 147. But the Keith Thurmans of that division are just going to eat his ass alive. He's not going to last.
Before we end the segment, there was one more fight last weekend. Man. The coup de grace of the weekend.
You talking about the son of a legend who got his ass kicked?
Chavez Jr. And we both said there was no chance. No chance that he loses this fight. He lost the fight. Badly. Didn't even come back out. He was like, yo, I'm out of here. He checked the corner. Am I still getting paid? Do I get to eat after this? Yo, let's go. I don't need these last four. Let's go.
Look, Fonfair is a good fighter. I saw, you know, the Adonis Stevenson fight put Stevenson down. And I said that before. I just didn't think. I thought, for some reason, I thought that Chavez would come up and some of that power would carry to light heavyweight. He couldn't move Fonfair for nothing. And what happens is Chavez has wasted so many years bullshitting with training, bullshitting with his weight. Because he shouldn't even be there. He should be making 168.
The ganja?
Yeah, smoking weed, drunk driving. He lives off his dad's name. He's never been that good. I've been watching Chavez Jr. fight for years. He's never been that good. He beat Andy Lee in a fight he was losing, ended up getting a knockout. He fought terribly against Brian Vera. He lost every round of every minute of every round to like the last minute against Sergio Martinez. Chavez Jr.'s not good. But I thought at StubHub with the crowd behind him, he would have did just enough to get a decision, and we would have been on this podcast talking about how bad he looked while winning, because I thought he would have got a gift. Instead, he got his ass beat. Fonfara had his number from the opening bell.
Yo, there was no fear by Fonfara at all.
That Polish kid is not...
Yo, he stepped in, and he was like, oh yeah, I'm about to eat. Like, he was just like, this is my meal ticket. He was like, all these fans, all these people know your name, and you're my stepping stool. And there was, as soon as the bell rang, it's like you could look at him, and he was like, oh yeah, it's time. It's time. I'm about to go get this. And Chavez Jr., he didn't have a second to breathe. It's not like he could even collect himself and be like, yo, okay, I'm in a fight. Let me turn it on. Nothing. He stole his soul. Like, he might not fight again.
He shouldn't. Look, he sucks, all right? I'm just going to put it out there. any Mexican listener who loves Chavez will call it blasphemy. But it's blasphemous that Chavez Jr. doesn't have half the heart that his dad has.
Nowhere near the heart.
Because Chavez Jr., who's coasting on his dad's coattails when his dad was going 12 rounds with Mel Taylor getting his ass kicked, but beating him to the point where at the last minute of the fight, he knocked him out in the last seconds. Chavez Jr. can't do that. He's not that type of guy because he's got a silver spoon in his mouth. He doesn't need this. He doesn't need to fight. Any fighter who says, hey, Freddie, I know you're a great trainer, but I'm not coming to the gym today. I'm going to move this sofa in my living room, and we're going to train at my house. That guy doesn't give a shit about boxing.
He had some stuff to do that day.
They didn't have shit to do. He probably smoked some weed. That's what he did.
Probably. You know, traffic is horrible. I understand the logic behind it.
No. When Freddie Roach was telling me, he's like, I have a hard time getting this kid to the gym. I knew it was over. How are you with a Hall of Fame trainer? You're undefeated. You've had some really close decisions, right? There was guys that you should have beat that you had a hard time with early in your career. And you have a Hall of Fame trainer, and you're like, I don't want to do this. Let's come to my house and eat pizza and play in the pool. Like, get him out the paint.
Yo, he had to play some good Call of Duty in between training sessions.
What sucks is that Carl Froch wanted this fight with Chavez Jr. Anybody with a brain wanted to fight with Chavez Jr. because you were going to get a check.
Oh, yeah.
And now Fonfara gets that check, and he gets the recognition, and he, you know, maybe he'll get a rematch with Stevenson down the line. Who knows? But, yeah, Chavez Jr., get this kid out the paint. I'm done with that.
Yo, that fight was ugly. Stay tuned, though, because we have two guests coming up talking Mayweather-Pacquiao weekend.
And they're women.
Women.
Women that know boxing are a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just got to sit back on a podcast. I'm going to just let them talk. They're going to school me today. I'm going to learn something.
They ain't going to school me, but...
They're going to school me today. These ladies, hey, they know their stuff.
Yeah, they do. They too. Definitely stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the corner. This is Kel Dansby, still here with Andreas, and we have a very special guest with us today.
Hello, everyone. It's Top Rank's leading lady, Christina Poncher, in the house. Hello, hello.
Thanks for joining us today, Christina. Man, so much to talk about. We have Mayweather-Pacquiao finally happening.
Yep. And I mean, it's been all these years that we've been talking about it. And Christina, I know you're aware. It was almost fatigue talking about this fight. Can you, first of all, talk about how you feel now that the fight is finally together? We're about a week out. Are you excited?
I'm excited and I'm tired already. I mean, this has been unlike any other promotion that I've ever been a part of. I've been a Top Rank almost 5 years now and covered every Pacquiao fight since he fought Mosley, and this by far has been the craziest, most outrageous thing. And not even in terms of like everything that we're doing for the promotion, because to be honest, we haven't had to do very much, but just every aspect of, from tickets to the closed circuit to the contracts to the training and sparring partners, it's been crazy. But you know, I am excited, and it'll be something I'll tell my kids and grandkids about one day, that, you know, I was there and I covered one of the biggest fights in boxing history.
Why is everything taking so long? I know, like, this is what everyone wants to know. It's like we're a week away and people can hardly get their hands on the tickets. Like,
I know. It's so crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's because, you know, Mayweather Promotions and Top Rank Promotions, they really don't work together. They never have. And although Mayweather was promoted by Top Rank for the first, you know, 10 and a half years of his career, ever since the split, I mean, there's been bad blood between, you know, Floyd Mayweather and Bob Arum, who is the, you know, president, CEO, owner, founder of Top Rank. So, and then you have the two sides with Showtime and HBO, and, you know, they don't, very, very rarely do they ever come together. I think it's only the second time since, like, 2002 when Lennox Lewis fought Mike Tyson that you have two major pay-per-view networks working together. So, I mean, there's a lot of players involved, and it's just making everything, you know, a big cluster, and then insert the beep after that. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane. But, you know, there's a lot of money involved, and everybody wants to make sure that they're getting, you know, their fair share, and it's understandable. But look, I mean, we're getting close. Tickets should be on sale tomorrow. I know it's crazy. I think only like 500 are really going to go on sale to the quote unquote public.
Jeez.
But, you know, your best bet is to be at home and on the couch watching that pay-per-view for $100 and having everybody pitch in a 20 or something and
get some wings,
squares, eat some food, and enjoy.
So for you, you've worked close with Bob. A lot of people say Bob's this old, angry guy, but what is he really like? Because, I mean,
he's not angry.
He seems like sour, though. Like, he just got that face.
He does. He kind of has a scowl sometimes. But look, I've seen him probably at some of his best moments, and I've seen him when you don't even want to look, you know, his direction. And overall, I mean, the man has a ton of responsibility. He's a legend in the game. The way that he just travels, I mean, we've gone to Macau in the last year like 10 times, and he makes every international trip. I mean, it's amazing at his age what he's able to do. But, I mean, I think it's important, and it's good for Bob's legacy that this fight, you know, was made happen, because he jokes, like, on his tombstone, it would say, you know, but he was never able to make, you know, Mayweather Pacquiao. So, you know, it's like, at least the fact that it's going down, he's a big part of that, as is Les Moonves from CBS. But he's a great guy. He's got stories for days. I mean, sometimes we'll all be at dinner after a weigh-in, or, you know, before a fight, we'll be eating lunch. He's got stories of Muhammad Ali and, you know, Tyson Day. I mean, it's just crazy. He's just such an encyclopedia of knowledge, and he's got so many crazy stories. It's so fun to just learn, you know, more rich boxing history directly from the source.
You touched on it a little bit earlier, but, you know, Floyd and Arum obviously had a pretty strong working relationship for a long time. How did that go so wrong? You know, the general public doesn't know how they kind of parted ways and this animosity was built. How did it go wrong between the two?
You know what? I don't really know the exact answer to that question either. I mean, maybe only Floyd and Bob really know. But I think probably, one, it came down to money. Probably, two, it came down to some ego and attitude. And, you know, Floyd Mayweather is a type A personality. He very much has that boss mentality. And it's hard to have, you know, more than one chief in a group. And when he got to the level where he felt like he was a star and could break out and could start, you know, having more business savvy and wanted to have maybe more control, he, you know, he thought that he was ready to just kind of maybe spread his wings and venture out on his own. And, you know, I don't think Top Rank was happy about that, considering all the work they took to build him up. But I don't know if you can really fault him for wanting. I mean, obviously, look back now, he's made a bazillion dollars, you know, so it's worked out fairly well for him, you know, to say the least. But I think that at the time, you know, his attitude and maybe the culture that Floyd was embracing in terms of, you know, I don't want to say hip hop culture, but just in terms of like his demeanor and even the cockiness and confidence, like that was in him. And I don't even know if Bob really even knew how to deal with that at that time, to be honest. Like, it's just, it was a different perspective. And I think that, you know, Floyd saw a bigger picture than what he thought he could do it on his own, and he has. So if this fight's never been made happen, then everyone would have always wondered if he made the right decision. But look, he's millions of dollars richer, and the fight's happening. So, I mean, everything happens for a reason.
So in your opinion, because everybody's talked about either the fight being right on time or should have happened 5 years ago, where do you stand on that?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to look back and say, you know, I think, because we don't know how the fight's going to turn out on Saturday. Like, if they go in there and they end up banging and they're exchanging and it's a great fight, then I think a lot of that talk will subside about, all 5 years ago would have been better, because we got a great product on Saturday night. If they go in there and they're cautious and they're nervous and it's six rounds of just them feeling each other out, then yeah, people were like, you know, oh gosh, this wouldn't have happened, you know, 5 years ago. But I think they're smarter. I think they're more mature. I think the fight means more to them now. So for those reasons, I think, you know, it's better that it happens now. And look, you know, Pacquiao's didn't necessarily used to throw caution to the wind, but he got knocked out by Marquez by being careless. He had this like reckless abandon, and now he's a smarter fighter. He controls his aggression in the right way. And you know, Mayweather is maybe come down a tad bit from where he was 5 years ago, but I think that does make for a better fight between these two now.
Wow, Mayweather came down from a notch.
A little bit.
Yeah, hey, it's all right.
There's a little plenty I mean, of people 38 think years that. Old. I know I wasn't the same, you know, 6 years ago that I am now. I'm a little slower in the gym myself, but you know, it's just it's father time is undeniable. But I just think that if anything, they're both at the best physical condition that they can be at this age for this fight, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you talk about father time. You know, both of them have a very short window left. Like, this is near the end for both of them. From
Absolutely.
A top rank perspective, who's next? Like, who is that next person in your eyes that you think can be a major pay-per-view sell for, you know, not if it's not just Top Rank, for boxing in general?
Well, there's a few out there. I mean, for Top Rank, I don't know if you guys watched the fight on Saturday night, but we have a guy by the name of Terrence Crawford fighting at the 140-pound division that just won a world title, moving up from 135. And he is, I think, by far one of the best. I don't even want to call him a prospect, because he's a world champion now. He's no longer a prospect, but he's somebody that I think could very well step into that position. He's a humble kid from Omaha, Nebraska, and undefeated, and he is just really making a name for himself. And, you know, there's Gennady Golovkin making a huge name for himself in the middleweight division. You know, they got heavyweight and Brian Jennings. You have the Klitschko's. I mean, there is still, and there's a lot of young talent too, but, you know, the names that are causing a lot of buzz right now, you know, GGG's buzz is undeniable. And same thing, I think, with Terrence Crawford.
So I want to go back to this fight, Christina, because we've been waiting for this fight for years. I've been ringside for Pacquiao and Mayweather fights for the past 8 years. And there's a lot of debate on how this fight's going to play out.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what do you think is the key factor of this fight? A lot of people say it's the first three rounds and how Pacquiao comes out, but what do you think is going to be the main factor?
The judging? No, I'm just... I'm just being real. I mean, I don't really think that the fight's going to end in a knockout. I mean, neither. I think Mayweather has had, what, one knockout in the last 8 years, and Manny hasn't knocked anybody out since Cotto back in 2009, so the odds are that the fight's going to go to a decision. But look, I think it's really, really important for for Manny to keep his activity level high and to be aggressive, to be not necessarily to leave himself open and go in with a reckless abandon, but look, he's got to have effective aggression, and that's what I think Maidana lacked in those two fights with Mayweather. Look, it's not necessarily about how many punches you throw, because I think Manny will out-throw Mayweather. It's just a matter of if he can connect and be efficient. I think Maidana only connected, even though he threw twice as many punches in those fights, only 30%, where Money's up at about 50%. You know what I mean? So it's going to be really important. But yeah, he can't, for Manny, he can't give away those first three rounds. He can't give away any rounds. And for Mayweather, look, he's going to have to stand in there a little bit and engage. There's no way that he's going to be able to just be on the defensive for 12 rounds and win this fight. I mean, that's obvious. So I think once he feels Manny's power in the first couple rounds will dictate a lot about how he continues to fight the fight, how long he stays in the pocket, and, you know, if he's willing to bang or not.
You're a top-ranked girl. Are you siding with Pacquiao? Do you believe Pacquiao's going to win this fight?
It really just depends. I mean, yes, I work for Top Rank, and of course everybody knows that Top Rank is rooting for Manny Pacquiao in this fight, and they would like him to win this fight. I think that the best chance for us to see a rematch would be if Manny Pacquiao wins the fight, because if Floyd wins, he's not going to get in there and do it again. Like, I highly doubt it. So if we want to have a rematch or make a trilogy out of this, then, you know, the best bet is if Manny wins the fight. But we'll see. I mean, both guys, I think the odds are in Mayweather's favor, and I think that's correct, as they should be. But it'll just be interesting to see how it goes down on May 2nd.
That's a great politically correct answer right there. I like that. That's like years of media trading right there. That's why you're a pro. You see this? I need to learn that. It was perfect.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad, Christina. Okay.
I have it written down and typed out. No, I'm just playing.
So I know I'm sure you watched Stephen A. Smith sitting down with Floyd Mayweather and talking about he's greater than Ali and Sugar Ray Robinson.
I caught a tad bit of that.
Okay. When we talk about these guys' places in history, do you think that Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao could go down as one, the greatest fighter of all time? Or is that position already taken by Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough to say. I mean, I can't tell you that, you know, I think my generation will look at it differently than my parents or my grandparents' generation. You know, I haven't watched a lot of Muhammad Ali fights, and there's not a lot of Sugar Ray Robinson film out there. Like, it just isn't. It was a different time, a different era. Obviously, they will be in the conversation, which is an honor in and of itself. But I think it's just subjective. I knew a lot of the guys. I was with Rich Murata, who runs the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame there and is a great commentator. And, you know, Rich was asked to submit his boxers of all time 1 through 10. And there was no question that Sugar Ray Robinson was his number one. And the other people around us, you know, a few people said Ali, someone else throughout Floyd. But a lot of them said, you know, yeah, Sugar Ray Robinson would. It's hard to argue with that. So I think it depends on what era that you grew up. But yes, Floyd's record is telling, and it puts him, you know, on the top of some people's list. But I mean, there is an argument, I think, for either way you decide to go. With Manny, obviously, with his record, if you look strictly at that, maybe wouldn't be in the conversation for the top three. But you can't deny, you know, winning 8 world titles in 8 different weight divisions and being the lineal champ in so many of them, that what he's been able to do has been remarkable in the sport. So I think it's just a matter of personal taste and preference. But he's in the conversation. I mean, for the most part, at least top three.
Wow. Top three. That's not bad. That's not a bad place to sit right there.
At least. I mean, but most people in our generation probably will say number one because, you know, they are not – they just know the record. They know the O in the loss column, and they know that, you know, he's single-handedly dominated the sport in recent years. So –
Well, Christina is the pro, and she came through and blessed us. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Wait, got another question.
There's another question? Andres is full of questions.
Look.
Do you see this guy?
Go ahead. You know, it's Mayweather Pacquiao weekend, and you've been to Mayweather fights, you've been to Pacquiao fights. You know the zoo that's about to take place in Las Vegas. Where are you going to be during fight week? Are you partying at all, or are you just working?
Good question.
No, I am working. I'm partying a little bit, but work partying, if that makes sense.
Work party? That doesn't sound fun at all.
No. I am part of a group of women that work in the sport of boxing that's put on by Michelle Rosato called the Raging Babes. And we have an event Wednesday night with all the women in boxing, some of the boxers' wives, Jackie Callen, Michelle Corrales, women in the sport, all going to get together and, you know, have some margaritas and celebrate, you know, what we've been able to do in the sport. And, you know, so things like that. The Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame has an event I'll attend. So I'll be having some fun, but it's going to be a busy week of work. And come May 2nd or come May 3rd, I'm definitely going to be exhausted and glad that that it's over.
So we're not going to see you at Jay-Z's party at Marquee?
You're invited.
You know what?
You can come hang out.
$50,000? Do you guys have a table?
I cannot confirm or deny, but I will be at a table.
I mean, come on.
Listen, it happened somehow. So
give me a break. Well, how about your girl?
Yeah, you need to get in there. I got you. We'll make this work.
Thanks, you guys, so much. Thanks, for Christina. Having me. Stop me at Come Fight Week if you see me and say hello, please.
We definitely will. Definitely will. Thank you for joining us. Christina kind of, you know, set us up perfectly because coming up next, we're going to take a quick break and Michelle Rosato is going to be joining us.
Yep.
So another lovely
girl.
Lady. Yes.
See, look at that. The women are taking over the show.
Girl power.
Yeah, the ladies are schooling us today on the show about boxing. So thank you.
Tell my girl
for joining
I said hi.
I definitely will. You guys stay All tuned. Right. We'll be right back with Michelle.
Bye.
All right, everybody, welcome back. That was a quick break, but we are back with our second guest.
Second guest.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Rosato, a.k.a. the Raging Babe.
Yes, Michelle's in the building. We kind of teased it before we went on break, and Christina gave it a huge shout-out. So the women are ruling the podcast today. We're just co-pilots in this.
Christina Poncher is so legit. I mean, I think I met her about 2-3 years ago in Las Vegas for Rita Alvarado, and I just got so much respect for her and seeing her grow and pioneer in the sport. It's amazing to see. And then there's a lot of women in boxing behind the scenes that are movers and shakers that they really hold it down. They really are the nucleus to all of these huge events, believe it or not.
Yes, the world is run by women. Ain't that the truth?
Yes, look on the world, girl.
So talking about this Floyd fight, obviously there's tons of stuff going on that week, but it all wouldn't be possible without the fight itself. How do you feel about the fight finally happening?
Well, I'm relieved that it finally happened. You know, for many years, for the past, 5 years, the fans have focused on that fight, have demanded for it, screamed for it, wrote boxing off because it wasn't happening. And so it's finally happening, and I think it's a sport for the casual fans, the mainstream fans, the hardcore fans. I expect it to break records, and I'm talking, you know, 3-4 million pay-per-view buys. As far as the fight itself, I think we're going to get a mediocre fight. I don't think it's going to be as hyped as what people think it's going to be. I think Manny Pacquiao has about 4 good rounds to do something. And if he don't, then I think it's going to be a whitewash. And I think Floyd is going to win by unanimous decision. We'll be lucky if we get a couple flash knockdowns, you know. But I think it's going to be the same Floyd.
Man, you just broke people's hearts.
No, you're a smart girl. You know exactly. Dude, Michelle, you know exactly what's going to happen.
They're spending
$100.
Look, I tell people all the time, Raging Babe, I try to be authentic, I try to be witty, you know, but I'm always going to keep it real, and I just really think that that's what's going to go down. I'm not a Manny hater, I'm not a FOMO, I'm not a Pactoid, or whatever they call these insane fan groupies. You know, I'm just kind of calling it like I see it. I think Manny's great. He'll go down as a Hall of Famer. But I just think Floyd is still a little too smart. People say Floyd has slowed down, his legs are bad, blah, blah, blah. But, he's still pretty smart.
But do you think that there would have made it any difference if they would have fought 5 years ago when Pacquiao was rumbling through weight divisions?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
really? How would it be, how would the fight have been different 5 years ago?
I think it would have been more competitive. I think it would have been a little more equal. I think it would have been harder to even call that fight 5 years ago. I still think Floyd probably would have won 5 years ago, but I think it would have been more of a war. It would have been just a better fight all around. I mean, now the guys are 5 years older. Manny Pacquiao, you know, he was given the NyQuil treatment.
Yes, he was.
By Marquez. You know, Floyd, you know, he took a couple good shots in the past 5 years, not many. But, you know, it's just things are different now.
Well, here's my thing, and I want you, Michelle, I want to ask you this, because Pacquiao's always had trouble with Marquez, and Marquez is the counterpuncher, and he's great with timing. Floyd's bigger than Marquez, is quicker, and a more accurate counterpuncher. How in the world could Manny Pacquiao beat Floyd Mayweather if he can't, if he's always had a hard time with Marquez?
I think we're going to see Manny probably just moving a lot, you know, maybe trying to get Floyd to get on his toes again and to move more, since they're saying that Floyd has slowed down, that his legs are shot. So I would think that they would kind of want him to use his legs more. I don't, man, that's a good question. I don't know what Manny's game plan could be at this point. How do you try to outbox someone like Floyd? Well, we've seen that that doesn't work. So it's kind of like you got to go in there and try to rumble him. And you almost got to get dirty, you know. And I hate to say Maidana fought a dirty fight. I don't want to say that. But Maidana won, you know, and it was pretty ruthless. And Maidana just went in there, balls to the wall. And I think that's how Manny's going to have to fight Floyd to even have a chance.
See? Smart girl. She knows what she's talking about.
She knows her stuff.
You can't play chess with Bobby Fischer. You can't play chess with Bobby Fischer. I keep trying to tell you.
All right, so Michelle, you're actually our first guest that's trying out our new segment. It's called What If. So I'm going to throw a couple what ifs at you, and you got to tell me how the fans are going to react, all right?
Don't mess this up.
So, first one, what if Floyd KOs Manny?
There will be a moment of silence in the Philippines.
It's like the 13 guns salute.
Oh, that's going to be horrible.
It's over if, oh, man. I just want to see Pacquiao's moms. Like, if he goes night-night again, I don't even, cut from the ring. Don't show me anything in the ring. Show me his moms.
You know, here's the thing with Manny. Not to interrupt our little game show or whatever we're doing here.
Go ahead.
But when Manny, you know, I compare Manny Pacquiao a lot to Mary J. Blige. When Mary J. Blige, when she was drinking and she was on that shit and she was turning up, her music was the best. It was untouchable. You know, she was unbeatable. And then when she became very peaceful and started going to church and she cleaned up her life and she stopped turning up, well, we haven't had a good Mary J. Blige album in a few years. Well, and that's why I kind of feel about Manny Pacquiao, is that, you know, when he was out there turning up, cheating on his wife and drinking and doing all this stuff, he was knocking people out. He was winning fights. He was the man. And all of a sudden, man, he found God and he rededicated himself to his wife, which is a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. And he stopped doing all this extracurricular stuff. And it's like, man, when was the last time we saw Manny in a really good fight where he looked really good?
Yo, it's just not the same. It's not the same after all that. That cheating puts pressure on you.
Yo,
you go into the ring with that pressure.
Yo, you just compared Manny Pacquiao to Mary J. Blige with, like, the greatest analogy ever. Oh, shit. Mary J. Yo, but you're so...
Tell me when was the last time Mary dropped a gem. It was probably when she was going through it, you know, when she was doing... It is what it is. I mean... Things change, you know, lifestyle changes, and, you know, sometimes you see boxers, they fall in love with a woman, and they have a baby, and they never fight the same. Why is it? Why is that?
Yo, that's real. They lose that hunger. They become a fat cat.
I tell you what, it's the woman. It's the woman that changes the man into making him a little bit softer. I mean, we know Jinky had her hands on Pacquiao. After the Marquez fight, we all know Manny changed. Everybody saw it. And he found God, and he's like, you
and
know,
he ain't knocked someone else.
Nah,
since.
He's not like an. That's crazy.
Well, here goes our second what if. Bring it back to the game. What if Manny knocks out Floyd? What happens?
Oh, my God, the internet would break.
Yep.
The internet would break. Shout out to RaisingBabe.com because I'm going to have some amazing t-shirts on there if Floyd loses.
Yes, yes. Yo, I'm sure the money team will appreciate Floyd knocked out on the front of a t-shirt. I'll be the first one to buy it. I'll give you my PayPal now. Have them in stock. Oh, my God.
It'll say, where were you when Floyd lost? Could you imagine? I mean, people would just, the big, big Floyd Mayweather fans, I mean, they might cry. The internet's going to break. I mean, I can only imagine. Lord.
Our last what if the judges screw one of the fighters? Like, what if there's, like, a Timothy Bradley type situation going on?
Then you know what? Then I'm predicting that there'll be another stampede at the MGM.
Oh, man.
The people will go buck crazy. You know, they will start throwing things. They will stampede. It could be a big problem at the MGM if the judges screw this over.
Yo, don't wish that upon me, man. I got to make it to the press room.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that. It's already crazy when Mayweather fights. It's like Freak Nick meets like some crazy Cinco de Mayo weekend. Like, it's gonna be all kinds of craziness if that happens. I'm not ready for that.
Thank God there's only 500 public tickets. It's a bunch of corporate suits about to stampede me.
Hey, it's gonna be Mark Wahlberg fight with Rick Ross. I can't wait to see it.
So, Michelle, obviously, there's a ton of stuff going on that week. Tell us a little bit about the Raging Babes.
Well, I am having my fifth Raging Babe event. It's called the Raging Babe Soiree, Reaching New Heights. And it's going to benefit the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. So I'm actually donating a percentage of all of my financial sponsorships that I get for this event to the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame to allow them, you know, to keep doing wonderful things. And we're also honoring Michelle Corrales Lewis, who is the widow of champion boxer Diego Corrales, who we all love and miss so dearly in our sport. And she is also now the COO of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. So she's just doing a lot of big things in boxing. She's making moves low-key. And it's important that we recognize her and that we honor Diego. And so we invited about 120-some women in boxing, in professional boxing, whether she's a publicist, whether she has a website, a manager, promoter, fighters, wives, girlfriends, if they work for a network, HBO, Showtime, they've all been invited. This is not, you know, how should I say, it's not a biased event. It's for all the women in boxing. And we get together and we exchange business cards and we network and we're building our own foundation. But the best thing is that we get to share our war stories and we get to share our triumphs in this sport. And a lot of us now, because of these events, we now work with each other and we're now passing on to each other different leads and different projects. And that's always what it was supposed to be about. It was uplifting, empowering women in boxing, encouraging us to keep going in this male-dominated sport. So we're going to have a great dinner, then we're taking a ride on the hot roller, and then we're ending the night at Sprinkles Cupcakes for a treat. So it's going to be a fabulous evening. I'm so looking forward to it.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Like,
yeah.
This is one of the times whack being a guy for a quick second. Like, I don't get to go to none of this stuff. I have a heart attack on a high roller, but it's all right.
It's a night just for us, and you would be surprised how many fighters, how many husbands, how many men in boxing email me, tweet me, hey, can I come? I'll pay for my own seat. And I'm like, no, you can't come. Like, this is our fishbowl. This is our night to be in our own little fishbowl and to share our stuff, you know, with each other and have girl talk and have fun with it and drink margaritas and let our hair down. You know, so, but it's funny because after dinner, you know, some of the husbands come through, some of the fighters come through, and it's nice, you know, afterwards they come through, but it'll be a special night.
Yo, I feel like it's the Little Rascals Clubhouse.
Yes, yeah. I'm dressing up. I'm coming as Madea. Y'all will not notice me. I'm going to infiltrate the Raging Babes dinner. It's the only time that I give Tyler Perry props on this. I'm coming. You will see me at this dinner trying to see what's going down.
Full beard. Like, he ain't even shaving a beard before.
Nah, it's not like women don't have beards, right?
All right. I know, and our fans and listeners probably don't, you won't be here for the actual fight, but before you go and you go spend the day with your family and enjoy it, are you turning up on Thursday or Friday? What are you doing? It's Floyd and Manny weekend. You got to have at least a little bit of a turn up.
Yeah, well, okay, so Wednesday night is my soiree, and we are going to be turning up. I mean, we have unlimited margaritas on deck. We have champagne. I mean, we've got some fantastic sponsors that are spoiling these women. So Thursday, I might be recuperating a little bit, but actually, I'll share with you, and I haven't really shared this with anyone yet, is that Terrence Crawford and Brian McIntyre and Michael Carter, they're going to be in town for the Floyd Pacquiao fight. And so I'm probably going to end up just rolling with them on Thursday and Friday. So make sure you hit me up. And, you know, Terrence Crawford's going to be in town. And he doesn't drink. He doesn't turn up. He don't do all that. So we're probably going to just be chilling.
Yo, that sounds like a plan. We need to get together and watch Avengers or something. I can't go all weekend without seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if y'all go, sure. You let me know. You know, Andres is fancy, and he's about to go see it, like, what, this weekend?
Yeah, I've seen it, like, Monday. I got an advanced screening for the Avengers, so.
See, I ain't that cool. If we got to do this like normal folk, we'll go to the movie theaters, and we'll chill.
Yeah, well, and other than that, I really don't know what's going on out here as far as, like, what's popping, and I wish I knew more, but, you know, I think they just released tickets today, and so maybe by the end of the week, you'll know more on, you know, where to go, where to be. Oh, Thursday night is the ESPN card. That's right.
Yeah. We got cards Thursday. It's a lot of boxing.
Yeah, we got to go. Yeah, we'll be there.
Friday night is the Top Rank card. So, yeah, you got a lot to do. You're going to be working.
Yeah, yeah. You know, work first, turn up second.
Yeah, whatever. It's going to be a little bit of both. It's going to be hard to make it to the fight on Saturday. I know that much.
Oh, that's going to be rough. Thank you for taking time out to join us, Michelle. It was great. The ladies ran the podcast today. Thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you next week.
Wait, Michelle, tell people where to find you at.
Of course.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me. It was so much fun. I love when things are light and fun like this, and you can laugh and bullshit. So keep doing what you're doing. I love your whole format. My website is RagingBabe.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @M_RagingBabe. And I'm on Instagram at RagingBabe as well. So make sure you give me a follow, and I'll shout you out.
All right, everyone, stay tuned. We're coming back with some more talk. Thank you, Michelle, again. All right, welcome back. We're going to talk WWE this segment, but you know what? During the break, Andreas kept laughing at me because maybe I misspoke last week on the podcast. Maybe. You know, it's almost taken out of context, and he wants to constantly remind me of this. So we're going to talk UFC, and more specifically, UFC on Fox 15. Don't believe anything he says from here on out.
Oh, you just trying to soften the blow. Is that what you're doing?
No, I can't
let you lead into a segment with that kind of bullshit.
Yo, listen, I don't know what you're talking about.
What happened last week?
I don't know, yo.
You picked Patrick Cummins to knock out Ovince St. Preux.
Is that on tape?
You edit this shit, so you can go back and punch it in if you want to.
Go listen to last week's podcast.
And
I ain't say it.
Okay. You picked Patrick Cummins. You swore Patrick Cummins was like this... this is some kind of great guy coming up in the light heavyweight division. I told you he was going to get tooled by St. Preux. What happened?
Maybe not.
What happened?
You know, St. Preux landed a nice punch.
And what happened?
You know, it might have been a knockout. It might have been a knockout.
Your boy went to sleep, right?
Cummins went to sleep.
He went to sleep. Is he the future?
He ain't the future. He ain't the future. And I thought it was better than that. He showed some good wrestling. I was hopeful for a second, and then Ovince St. Preux put his lights out, and it was ugly. And I was like, man. And as soon as it happened, I went to Twitter, because I was already prepping to talk trash to
you.
Yeah,
you were too.
Like,
I sent out
that tweet like early in the fight. Like, yo, I'm just gonna ravage Andreas's mentions when Cummins wins this fight. And then the KO happened, and I had to hit Twitter, and I was just like, so about that. Like,
I felt bad for you.
Yo.
the day that you made that decision to open your mouth and say that Patrick Cummins is going to beat Ovince St. Preux, because first of all, I thought you were joking.
No, that's serious.
Who in their right mind thinks Patrick Cummins is going to beat Ovince St. Preux? Ovince St. Preux is bigger and more athletic, and Cummins just got his ass beat by...
Cummins' wrestling skill, I thought, would really come out in that fight.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you don't look at people like Daniel Cormier and be like, oh, he's just going to wreck shop on everyone that's not Bones Jones. But he does.
Kel, you're going to have your own segment called Kel's Bullshit Predictions. Bold bullshit predictions. Like, this is what you're good at. You're going to make some more nonsensical decisions.
Yo, that was a legit prediction. It didn't go my way.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was rolling with you on that.
Nah, I was probably out on a limb by myself. But Ovince St. Preux proved me wrong. And you know what? He looks like a good contender in that division.
Yeah, he's solid. I mean, he's a little sloppy. His striking's a little wild. But he's strong.
He timed that punch.
Yeah.
Incredible. And he said post-fight, like, yo, we worked this. This was in the game plan. We knew this was going to put him out.
Did you forget he knocked out Shogun?
No, I remember he knocked out Shogun. That was
and
nasty.
You thought Patrick Cummins was going to
I thought he had a chance. Right. I thought he was going to make it ugly. I thought the ground and pound was going to take over. And in the first, like, I saw some of the slams. And the wrestling skills were there. But Ovince, I didn't give him credit for what he's learned as a wrestler. And the way that he sprawled, the way that he got out of some of those takedowns, he was up so quick. And you just saw it in Patrick Cummins' face, like, yo, he won't stay down. He'd be like, I can pick him up, I can throw him around, but I can't get anything after that. And it was just a shock that came to his face. Like, yo, this is going to be deadly, because I can't stop him from getting back to his feet. And then it was only a matter of time before he did get knocked out, because I thought he can, you know, control the pace, get him on the ground, ground and pound, put him out that way. I thought Ovince wouldn't be able to, you know, move his hips and get out of the tight positions, and I was wrong.
You were wrong.
He was never on his back, and the kid did his thing.
Don't you ever pick against me again.
Don't pick against you, I'm sure, on this podcast right here, once we start talking 186, I'm sure I'm going to pick against you again.
But let's talk about that Fox card and how it was a great card for a free card.
Amazing card. Stacked it.
Even with the Romero injury, you still had a great card. So, from what you watched, who was the brightest star to come out of that card for you?
Oh, I mean, a lot of people really came up and starred, but Rocco had to have had the best performance, top to bottom. I mean,
dominant.
He's got to be that next guy to get a shot at Weidman.
I'm salivating for that match.
And I think, I've always said that's the type of fighter that it take to beat Weidman. It has to be someone who's as big as him. Someone who has the frame that isn't physically, I guess, just physically smaller than Weidman. Because even Silva couldn't do anything with Weidman. Because his frame, his strength, he cuts so much weight. That wrestler's mentality. Rocco's not going to have that problem.
Nah,
he's a big dude.
I thought he was going to beat Machida, but I just didn't think he was just going to run him over like he did.
No one does that to Machida.
But you know what this makes you do? It makes you go back and look at when Vitor Belfort knocked him out in Brazil, and you go, what was Vitor taking?
I know what he was taking.
It's TRT and something else. There's a mixed drink somewhere in Vitor's fridge.
One hell of a cocktail.
Yo.
It's like TRT and Pina Colada. All in one.
I don't know.
He was on it.
Yo.
And that Vitor, that Vitor could beat Chris Weidman. Non-TRT Vitor?
No.
No chance.
He's not going to beat Chris Weidman. But you know what? When I looked at the card, there were two guys that really stood out, other than Rocco. Max Holloway, for what he did to Cub Swanson.
Yo, that was impressive. I was wrong right there again. I picked Cub, but I picked it like split decision. I thought it was just going to be like an all-out brawl and a war. Yo, Holloway is really showing that he's back. Like, he took that Connor joint to the heart, and he's really showing that, like, yo, that's not me. He wants to run through the division. He wants a shot at Connor again.
I mean, you look at Holloway, he's young, and he got all his lumps when he was young. He lost to Poirier when he was young. You know, he lost to McGregor when he was young, and now he's more refined, and he showed it. he looked damn good against Cub Swanson. And I thought Cub was going to win that fight because Cub's a hell of a fighter. But Max Holloway looked damn good. And he's a scary guy for that division.
What do you think about Paige?
Paige is good. That division's wide open. It's one of those things where you watch Paige VanZant and you look at a Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
And you go, well, nobody can be Ronda Rousey. But Paige has a potential because she's so young.
Paige is wildly young. Like, we're not even seeing prime Paige.
No, she just
started being
able to drink.
Yeah, like, she couldn't even be on The Ultimate Fighter.
But, you know, like, Felice Herring's not really that good. So that win, she was dominant, but it's like, yeah, there's, you know, fight a Carla Esparza or fight a Tisha Torres, and then we'll figure it out. Right now, we got a long way to go with Paige.
Well, they're trying to make her the face of that division. I mean, and I know Joanna is not.
Yeah, Joanna's not having that at all.
No, she's... She saw that fight and she just smirked. I know it was just a huge smile on her face. Like, please let me get this chick.
But Paige looked good. There's another fight who looked really good. It's Aljamain Sterling. I've talked about him before. Getting the head arm choke from his back. Like,
yo,
Mitsugaki,
so crazy.
Dude is tough, man. From jitsu. I like Aljamain Sterling.
And he has a personality, too.
Yes, he
to
does.
Really go far with those skills. Like, I said it last week, just talking to the guy, you just believe. You believe that he's going to be somebody in that division.
He is. I mean, he definitely is. He'll work in Australia, but his jiu-jitsu, he's good, man. I mean, this was one of the best top-to-bottom cards. Again, Jacare just got Kamosi out of there real quick. We didn't have Jacare and Romero, and that card was still great.
Oh, yeah.
Then you go to UFC 186, which is on Saturday. Now, we got Rampage back on the card.
Rampage is back. Can he save it?
No, because nobody gives a shit about Rampage Jackson. Not
I
like
don't
that.
Know. Yeah,
he's not selling
mean,
pay-per-views, man.
No, he's not selling pay-per-views.
It's
against
Fabio Maldonado. Like, really?
It's a fight he could win.
So?
Give him a fight he could win, and he could howl.
Does he deserve to be the co-main event on a pay-per-view? I'll answer that, no.
No, probably not, but, you know, due to injuries, yes, he can do it, because there's no one else that can.
Man, it's going to be 13,000
He was supposed
people.
To be the third fight.
13,000 people going to buy this pay-per-view.
No, that's it. Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be one of the lowest-selling UFC pay-per-views.
Everyone's saving up money for Mayweather.
And you just
NBA
came off of
playoffs.
No, you came off of a free card that was great.
Way better.
There's no mystery in Demetrius Johnson's fight. There's,
no.
There's no way he loses that fight.
Nope.
There's no mystery in that. Now,
Rampage can knock the guy out, and maybe you get some older fans of the UFC who don't buy, you know, a lot of pay-per-views anymore, or, you know, may have gone by the wayside, that just hear the name Rampage Jackson and doesn't know that he's a shell of his old self.
I don't have the money to just shell out to watch Rampage. And then you got Bisping and CB Dolloway, which is another fight. I'm like, it doesn't move the needle really. You know?
Bisping's been talking that talk though. He's been trying.
He's been talking that talk. Remember
he's
when
trying
he got
to
knocked
sell
up
it.
By Dan Henderson?
Yeah.
He talked that talk, didn't he?
Yeah, and it's the wrong end.
This is a free card. Like, this is a Fight Pass card.
Yeah.
I mean, not even a Fox card. Not even FX card. This is a Fight Pass card. This is not a Fox Sports 1 card. This is a Fight Pass card.
Yo, it's rough. And, you know, shout out to Mighty Mouse and all that stuff, because I like watching him fight. I just want to see him fight someone better. It wake me up when he fights Dodson again.
I'm sorry.
Outside of that, I don't want to buy this. Listen, I'd watch it. I don't want to buy it. This is one of those great... Yo, let's go to the bar. So the NBA game is on, the UFC joint is on, everything is on at the same time, and you don't got to pay out of pocket.
It's not like the Spike TV card is like the greatest boxing card ever with Darrell and Danny Jacobs headlining, but it's just, I mean, at least it's some kind of suspense. This card is just, it's weak. But this is what happens when you stack cards. You have injuries and you get stuck with a pay-per-view nobody wants to pay for.
Yeah, and I'm surprised, you know, because 187 is so stacked that
man.
No one is physically ready and could have just bumped up to
it's
take
crazy.
This one.
Well, they don't want to mess with that card. They're just gonna. I mean, that card's gotta stay intact. Right after, like, as soon as we roll off of Mayweather-Pacquiao, we're gonna be talking John Jones and Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Yeah, immediately.
Immediately, like,
no,
we got
no disrespect
weeks.
To Canelo and my Mexican fans out there.
No, because Canelo's gonna beat the shit out of James Kirkland.
Yeah, we're
James
just like,
Kirkland,
yo, whatever on that.
Kirkland without Ann Wolf is nothing. So we're gonna watch that fight, but it's all about Rumble and John Jones.
As soon as Mayweather's over, it's like, okay, let's see what Blow Nose Jones does.
I mean, we're gonna spend, you know, the next week writing think pieces on Mayweather and Pacquiao. because that's what's going to happen. It's going to be like when Kendrick Lamar's album dropped and everybody's just writing think pieces. Yeah. Everybody thought it was the smartest person in the world because they knew shit about boxing. We're going to have a lot of time listening to people who don't know shit about boxing tell us all these great things of how they knew who was going to win. It's going to be the dumbest shit in the world.
Yo, it's going to be crazy, and I'm glad that we're going to have, like, all the memories and everything, because that's the only thing that's going to get me through it. Like, if I didn't go to the fight and I still had to cover it and read all these pieces and write a piece a day and I wasn't even in the building, damn, it'd make me mad.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. But, I mean, like I said, as soon as we get through Mayweather-Pacquiao, I'm excited. I just got my credential confirmation. It reminded me that Jones and Rumble is right around the corner.
Oh, I got mine today, too. Yeah, Shout out to you.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for that. And that's going to be exciting.
But you know what there is to watch next weekend? In case UFC is a little disappointing, we have WWE next weekend.
We do.
And that I am excited for. Extreme Rules.
You're coming. Excited for that?
Yo, I'm excited for Extreme Rules.
Why? Because it's free? WWE it is free. Network for $9.99?
Yeah.
Is that what you're excited about?
Listen, I pay my $9.99.
I do too, but...
And I just want to see where everyone goes. This is like that first step where you say, okay, this is where we're headed to SummerSlam. This guy's getting buried. This guy isn't. This guy's going to get his push. This is going to answer a lot of questions. And, you know, maybe I don't want to watch Big Show versus Roman Reigns, but it's going to tell me where they're going with Roman Reigns.
I don't think it is. You want to know why?
Why?
Because Payback's in 3 weeks after Extreme Rules. 3 weeks. 3 weeks of another damn pay-per-view. I don't know what we call these things.
I don't know. They're free.
But Extreme Rules is one of those cards where I don't care.
It's like a glorified SmackDown?
Yeah, because you got Roman Reigns and Big Show. We know pretty much know who's going to go over. Randy Orton and Seth Rollins in a cage match. Randy Orton can't use his RKO.
We know how that's going to end without the RKO.
We know that somebody's going to screw Orton out of this match. There's no way Orton becomes a champion over Rollins.
No.
Cena and Rusev. I'd love to see Rusev win in a Russian chain match. What do Russian chains look like?
Yo, it looks like just a normal-ass chain. Like, you really saw him, like, you know, kind of choke Cena this past week. Yeah, it was a normal ass.
Yo,
chain.
That shit looked like a bondage scene in a porno.
Yo,
like,
Cena's face was incredible.
His nose
during
was
that.
All smashed. Like, yo, but anyway, I just was kind of confused. A Russian chain match. It could have been a Chinese chain match. Could have been a
anything.
Filipino chain match. The chain gang. It wouldn't matter. It's the same goddamn chain. What are we doing here?
Ain't shit Russian about that chain.
Nothing at all. But does Cena lose the strap? No.
No. Nah. Cena's
but
not losing.
He should though. He should drop it back to Rusev.
I mean, Cena. It won't happen. There's no other storyline for Cena right now. They're gonna milk this Cena Rusev storyline until SummerSlam.
But then we got what we have to deal with Daniel Bryan. What's gonna happen with him?
That's the question mark. DB's health. Do they take the belt off him?
Yes.
Does Bad News Barrett take it and run with it? And
I don't know.
You try to give it to who? After
I've
that.
Already told you this.
Oh, God. Another Dolph Ziggler story?
God damn it, yes.
Oh, man. But, you must have loved Raw last week.
Raw was good. But, man.
Ziggler with the zigzag.
Yes, man.
I hate the zigzag as a finishing move. And I don't got anything against Dolph Ziggler. That's a whack finisher.
Nah, I've seen worse. I mean, I've seen worse.
But it's not great.
It's not the greatest finish. Like, he sells it well. It looks good somewhat when he does it. It's just,
somewhat.
It's just kind of weird, dude.
Finn Balor has that move, and it's like sixth in his moveset.
Yeah, let's not talk about Dolph. Let's just talk about Daniel Bryan and the future of Daniel Bryan right now, because it really looks like that we may be seeing the end of Daniel Bryan.
Yo, that'd be sad. I mean, I guess he'd go to like more of a corporate role and just talk, and so you get yes chance, and people show up, and he can be the anti-authority, but that's pretty much all you can get out of him until you can guarantee he's 100% healthy.
I don't know. I just feel bad because it's like Daniel Bryan just kind of, he worked so hard to get to these points, and it's like as soon as he gets the belt, he gets hurt. And he's a liability now. They can't put a title on.
Nah, he's like D Rose. He's the D Rose of the WWE. Yeah. Like, yo, he's back, and then he's gone.
Yeah,
and he wins MVP. DB wins the belt, and then he's gone. Like, you get so hyped because you can see him for a month and a half, and be like, yo, I see the glimpses of what he was. I think he's back. I'm hyped for it. And people buy in, and the yes chants come back, and merch is selling out the window, and people are push him, give him the belt at WrestleMania, and then he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, again, man, it's we're getting to the point where you got to wonder, is this it for D-Bryan? It's like, it hurts to see this dude who gets a title that's a working title. If he comes back, he just can't wrestle that style anymore. he's got to change his style. That reckless, he can't be diving out of the ring anymore. Like,
yeah.
Daniel Bryan just can't. There's a lot of stuff he can't do. There's also the weird thing about what's going on right now is the Divas division. What in the world is going on?
Naomi?
She's a heel, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't mind.
And I told you the Bellas are going face.
And that's stupid.
I told you.
Nobody likes the Bellas.
No one likes the Bellas.
And they're the worst faces ever. They're terrible.
But they're going to push them as faces because they sell on the show.
Oh, man. The Paige is hurt. So, like, everybody's hurt. Okay.
Oh, well, Paige ain't hurt. She's filming a movie.
What? Yeah, that's
her right. And the Miz.
Yeah. That's terrible. But,
Miz Dow. Miz Dow is actually pretty good. Yeah, I wouldn't mind Miz Dow as the IC champion.
Well, we got to see how he does without Miz because he's been, you know.
He's going back to Sandow.
Yeah, well, whatever. But the Divas division, why are they not? Where's Charlotte? Where's Sasha Banks?
Yo, if there was any time to bring him up. Now, this is the time to bring him up.
Because nobody wants to. Dude, the Bellas? Like, Nikki Bella versus Naomi is cool if they, you know, Naomi as a heel is cool, but Nikki Bella sucks as a face.
Yo, I'm all for Sasha Banks. Bring her up.
Yeah, I mean, I like
Hashtag Sasha. Boss.
Yeah, they didn't even figure out this Divas division. It's trash.
Yo, and I'm going to go get pizza during that match. Like, but, Divas, every WWE card is my go-to run to the store. Get some more juice.
Oh, yeah, it's always a...
Get some food.
Bathroom break.
Let's go.
P match.
Yep.
That's what that is.
Quick and easy.
Hey, New Day's going heel.
New Day?
Yo.
The New Day at Extreme Rules?
In the Tag Team Championship match against Kid and Cesaro, where Kid and Cesaro will guarantee to be the faces in that match.
Oh, yeah.
And New Day...
New Day might get the straps. They may get the belts. What are you going to do with the New Day as champions?
You got to change their damn name. That's what you got to do.
Hell no, you can't change. You got to embrace it at this point. I'm going on Twitter. I'll tell you that much. As soon as they win, they're going to have the most legendary black Twitter rant ever.
I hope so.
Yo, just can't tell them nothing. Big E.
Hey, Big E, that dude's he can go.
Big E can go. Big E with the belt. The belt don't even fit him, by the way.
I mean, look at him. Yo, that dude makes me uncomfortable. When he wears his little singlet,
What is
really
with the singlet?
I don't know, man. He's too big.
Oh, God. We got to have, like, a whole segment on poor wrestling attire.
Yeah, man.
That's going to be our pound for pound one.
Yeah, that dude needs
the
some
worst
jeans.
Wrestling outfits right now. Because Big E is leading that category.
Man, he needs some denim or something.
Oh, God. It's way too much showing right now. Like, yeah. He needs to package it in a little.
Yeah,
like,
that's nothing.
You're exactly. A little too big for that, my man. A pair of slacks.
It's a big dude.
Something. Go with the whole church gimmick and just put on a pastor outfit. Something.
So we just had Raw this week. And I thought was a, you know, it's another one. It's like we're in this weird post-WrestleMania funk. And we just watched, we're watching Kane possibly turn face.
Like which, you know, I like the Kane push right now.
It could make sense. Yep. I don't know, does he get the mask back? Does he turn the old Kane? But then how long does that last?
Hellfire and Brimstone Kane. Triple H hinted towards it.
But more importantly, the curb stomp is banned?
No more curb stomp. You know what? I thought it was like soft move when I first saw it. It's so fly, though. Like, now that it's gone, I miss it.
No, it was unique to Seth Rollins.
It was. And now we got the ugly joint.
What is this? This belly flop, face first, DDT bullshit? Look, Seth Rollins is a champ. The curb stomp was a champion move because nobody else had it.
Nope. It was unique. But you know why? You can't have kids running around curb stomping people in the elementary school yard like it's the stunner.
Man.
Yo, someone's tying their shoe? Listen, if I was five, I know the stupidness I did when I was a youngster. Let someone be in a playground tying their shoe right now. I would have ran up, curb stomp them. Take that. They would have missed their whole front row of teeth. I'd be like, yo, we're good. We're young. It grows back.
Man, I don't know, man. Like
it would have been gone.
Sheamus broke kicks people in the face all the time. I mean,
yeah, but how many kids can broke kick someone?
No, I try.
Yeah, I ain't that flexible. Like, I can curb stomp anybody.
But, damn, man. Like, what does Rollins do without... He's going to have to, like, get a new finisher. And he can't have a bullshit, like, a fake Dirty D's. You know, Roman Reigns is a spear, but whatever. That's all he has.
That's a whack finisher.
You know, it's like he needs a unique finisher. If you're going to be the champ, you can't be DDTing people.
No, but Daniel Bryan has a horrible finisher, too. So,
well,
I mean,
okay. Let's not go too far with that. Because have you ever watched Nakamura pull off this knee?
Yeah, well, but you think Daniel Bryan's...
Daniel Bryan's is directly from Nakamura in NJPW. And I mean, I like the knee. Nakamura does it better. Boombayah is a lot better.
It's a lot better.
But I'm fine with it.
At the stage, once again, when you are the heavyweight champion, some stuff can fly, some stuff cannot fly. A running knee does not scream heavyweight champion.
I mean, the running knee than the yes lock. So it's like you had...
Yes lock was dope.
You had both.
He doesn't use it enough.
But Rollins, I don't know. We need the curve stomp.
He can't bring out like a flying finisher, right? Like
he could. He flew around the ring with his ROH, his Tyler Black.
Yeah.
You know,
but as heavyweight champion, you sell that?
Champs don't.
And that's why the curb stomp was so amazing.
Yeah, because it was a heel move.
Yes.
It was a douchebag move. Straight out of American History X, Edwin Norton. That's what that was.
You just hated that guy just because he curb stomped people.
Heels don't high fly. You don't see high flying heels. So, yeah, they're going to have to. I don't know what they're going to do with
that. That new move is ugly.
That shit was terrible, man.
Before we go, who's Bray Wyatt talking to? I've been wondering this.
I don't know.
Who is he talking to?
Do we
find out at Extreme Rules?
How
many times are they going to have him not wrestle and just speak to a camera for 2 months?
I don't know. Is he going to reveal that Bo Dallas is his brother and these guys can be attacked? Like, what are we doing with Bray Wyatt?
Yo, is he talking about Bo Dallas? He can't be talking
about
him.
He's not talking about Bo Dallas. But I don't know what he's talking about.
Bo leave.
Hey. whatever we can figure out. Like, I don't think we're going to really figure out what we're doing with Bray Wyatt until, like, Money in the Bank.
Okay, but see, the next pay-per-view is 3 weeks away.
Payback, yeah.
So it has to be at Payback. And my thought process is Roman Reigns honestly can't fight the Big Show for more than another week.
Jesus Christ, no, I hope not.
So if Wyatt comes out and interferes in Roman Reigns' match.
That's no good, though.
And it's him versus Roman, I could live with that.
But that's, you want to know why that's no good? We can't have Bray Wyatt losing any
lose
more
again.
Matches.
You can't.
You got to put him against somebody he's going to beat. So Roman Reigns, no, sorry. Big Show's enhancement talent. That's who he is now. Big Show is always the guy that the up and comers got to beat, and everybody goes, he can't beat the Big Show, he's too big, and then he beats him. That's like, it's commonplace, it's normal.
Yeah.
Wyatt, on the other hand, he needs to truck a few guys and become this face of fear. I don't even know what it means anymore.
I don't know. Like, I like personally the follow the buzzards line better than face of fear. Like, he's kind of like cutting out all of the dope stuff he used to do, and then the Wyatt family was so dope. Like, I don't know where he's going right now.
You know who's
now
the biggest loser of the Wyatt family breakup? Eric Rowan.
Oh, yeah. Rowan's getting buried, though.
Rowan looked great when he had the mask on. He was rolling with the family. Now that he's, like, a face with a high IQ and does, like, Rubik's Cubes, this is stupid.
I don't understand that.
This is dumb.
Like, he got, like, 2 seconds on Raw last week, and he was eating a sandwich.
And it's like, okay, you know what?
Yo, it better be fixed this weekend. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm watching.
Well, bottom line is, post-WrestleMania is always a lot of trash. We get a lot of just, like, holdover stuff until SummerSlam. So we're just going to work towards SummerSlam. And Money in the Bank. So we're just kind of wait till Money in the Bank. I know in about a month, the last thing we could really talk about is, have you heard about the War of the Worlds card? ROH and NWA?
Yes. I saw the lineup.
Man.
Our next show. Listen. As soon as we get past all this Floyd stuff, we're going to go ROH heavy. So
ROH,
all our wrestling people, yo, stick with us. Yo. Yeah. We got y'all.
If you're a wrestling fan, now is the time for you to watch PWG, ROH, NJPW. Now is the time to try to find, even watch TNA. TNA is a
four-way tag match?
Oh, yeah.
What? Yo, I can't wait. I can't wait to see it.
Through the Bucks.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Yo, we'll get to that next podcast.
Yeah, we've wasted too much time.
Yeah, listen. Look, everyone, thank you guys for joining us today. Thank you to our two amazing guests today. The ladies came through and really showed out. I'm Kel Dansby on Twitter, @KelDansby.
Yes, and I'm Andreas Hale, @AndreasHale, simplest thing ever. Look, thank you for listening again. I know you probably have some better shit to do.
It's a long podcast, but I think we're entertaining.
I
said some less stupid shit because I don't think I say stupid shit. But according to you,
I don't know. I'm going to go home and play some Mortal Kombat X. And
I need your gamer tag, though. You catch his fade.
Don't do this to yourself.
Well, we'll let you know what happened on Twitter.
Indeed.
You guys check iTunes, check SoundCloud, The Corner Podcast, LSN, Loudspeakers Network.
Yes, sir.
Yo, we're a little bit of everywhere right now. Thank you guys for joining us. Next week, Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao is going down.
Woo!
Peace out. We're out.
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.